I am the Ascended Master Saint Germain. What I wish to discourse with you on is a particular lie that very few people have ever seen, exposed, or even imagined, but it is a lie that underlies not only the communist system, but in a sense all systems created by the fallen beings on Earth. You know that in the Soviet Union there was a concept of creating a new man. For some reason, they didn't seem to be so concerned about creating a new woman, but they thought they could focus on creating a new man, and then women would just somehow be swept along with that and be changed also. So they talked about the Homo Sovieticus. Now, the question I wish to start with is, let us say you have a government, be it dictatorial or otherwise, and they want to change their citizens. Would it be possible? Is it possible to change human beings? Well, it depends on what you mean by change. If you look at conventional thinking, whether it be religion, whether it be a political ideology, or whether it be scientific materialism, you would have to say that based on their thinking, they have a very limited idea of what it means to change human beings. They may have some visions or some teachings about how they can change human beings, like the Christian Church has been trying to change human beings for centuries, with limited success, I might add. But nevertheless, their understanding must necessarily be limited because they do not incorporate the teachings we have given you about the 144 levels of consciousness. So, in other words, it would be possible for a state, or for that matter, a religious institution that had enough influence on people's minds, to change people, but it could only be done by taking people up or down on the scale of the 144 levels of consciousness. We have said that there are 144 levels of consciousness possible on Earth. That means there is no consciousness possible on Earth outside the 144 levels. Whatever consciousness people have fits into one of those 144 levels, and so what a state or some external power can do is it can push people upwards or downwards on that scale. They cannot fundamentally change human beings. They cannot, as some would say, change human nature. But then again, what is human nature? Can you say that what you observe on planet Earth today is human nature? Well, that is what many would say. But as we have told you, there is the possibility that people cannot be in a state of duality, cannot be below a certain level on the scale of the 144 levels of consciousness. And when you step into duality, you actually change your consciousness in a fundamental way. So we could say that you change human nature to a dualistic level. So there is a dualistic level of human nature and a non-dualistic level of human nature. And so what you observe today, even though there have been examples of people with a non-dual nature, the vast majority of human beings are in a dualistic state of consciousness, and therefore this is what you observe as human nature, but it is of course not the full extent, not the highest potential of human nature. Now, what the Soviet Union attempted to do was to fundamentally change human nature as it is in the dualistic state of consciousness. Naturally, Marxism as an ideology was inspired by the fallen beings in the identity realm and the mental realm who worked with Karl Marx to bring forth these ideas. That is not to say that communism is entirely based on illusions and lies. There are some concepts in there, as there always is with the fallen beings. They take some true concepts, They mix them in with some untrue concepts, they twist the whole thing around, and then they create something that has enough truth to attract some people, but can never take them higher in consciousness. So, naturally, Marxism, communism, socialism, whatever you call it, it sprang from the dualistic state of consciousness. That is why it was defined with a fundamental opposite of capitalism. There was a duality from the start. So this means that all the communists could see was that they wanted to change the dualistic human nature. They wanted to change human nature in such a way that a communist society could actually work, that it could function. So they attempted to define a vision of this Homo Sovieticus, who was a human being with a particular attitude to life that could make communism function. What they tried to define was actually a human being who would work for the greater good selflessly, who would selflessly work for the common good, for the society, for the state, for the collective farm, for the factory, for whatever unit that person lived in, the person would selflessly work for the good of that unit, even for the good of society. This was essentially what they were aiming at creating, a person who would sacrifice his own personal ambitions, his own personal goals and desires, to do what was best for the whole. What they didn't realize, and could never realize, was that you can actually create a human being like that. That's a human being who's above the 96th level of consciousness. Of course, such a human being would never for a second believe in the communist ideology, and would, before it ever climbed to the 96th level, have seen through it. So what I'm pointing out to you is that what they attempted to do was simply impossible. It couldn't be done. Now, as we have said before, a somewhat communist system where there's common ownership of the means of production could actually function, but only if people had a higher level of consciousness. And then it wouldn't be the strict system defined by Marx. Because actually, in a higher level community, there wouldn't be state ownership. There would be localized ownership. So it wouldn't be, for example, that the state owned the farm and there were some people who worked that farm. It would be that all of the people who worked the farm had ownership of that farm and felt they were part of the ownership of it and deciding the future of it. The same with a factory or a business. There would be common ownership rather than state ownership. Then it could function if people had a certain level of consciousness, but you wouldn't call it communism as communism is currently defined. So, what was the only option that was left to the communist thinkers, the communist planners from Lenin and forward? Well, how did they bring in communism in Russia? They did it through force. When you bring something through force, when you are forcing people, what do? Well, you cannot take people and raise them to the 96th level through force. You cannot force them to grow up above the 48th level. You cannot, for that matter, force them to grow up through any level. What you can accomplish through force is you can force them down the ladder of the 144 levels of consciousness. And that is precisely what they did in Russia. After the Civil War, so to speak, was over, and those who opposed the Bolshevik forces in Russia were beaten down, They started this process of cleansing out, which was really completed under Stalin, of basically killing everybody who opposed the Bolshevik rule and their version of communism. And so this essentially meant that they killed almost anybody with a level of consciousness above the 48th level. Almost all the people above the 48th level of consciousness in Russia, and there were quite a few before the Bolshevik Revolution, were killed by the Bolsheviks. And then, because of the willingness to kill, the willingness that they demonstrated, especially under Stalin, to kill anybody who opposed or questioned the system, even those who didn't oppose or question the system under Stalin, they forced people down. Those who were at the 48th level were forced down, and those who were at the lower levels were forced even lower down. So what you created in the Soviet Union was a system where hardly anybody was above the 48th level of the decision makers. There were still people among the population who were at a slightly higher level of consciousness, but they had learned that the only way to stay alive was to not speak out. So they had no influence on society, other than the influence of raising the collective consciousness somewhat. But all of the decision makers, all of the ones who were executing the decisions, were below the 48th level of consciousness, many of them quite a bit lower, which is why you see this incredible brutality that was there. You can ask yourself, as you did in your discussion earlier, how could such a system be created? How could there be that brutality, that willingness to kill, that made all of the people in Eastern Europe not want to be occupied by the Russians, by the Soviets? And it's again because they forced the consciousness down towards the lower levels where you have that total brutality, that lack of humanity. And so what you see here is that if the communist dream should have ever worked, it would have required a higher level of consciousness, but by the very fact that they forced the consciousness, they forced the collective consciousness down way below the 48th level, it was impossible that communism could work. Why is that? Because what happens when you go below the 48th level? Well, people become focused on themselves. They see themselves as separate beings. I'm separate from other people. At the 48th level, you still have some family ties. You may see that there are certain people you can feel somewhat close to. Maybe you can feel close to the other Germans, but certainly not to the Jews, and so on and so forth. But the lower you go, the more self-centered, the more separate people become. In other words, the lower you go towards the lower levels of consciousness, the motto of these people becomes, what's in it for me? How is this going to affect me? What can I get out of this? In other words, I submit myself to the system, what do I get out of it? I become one of the leaders of the Soviet system, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? And that is also why you see that they had to create a society that from its inception, from the beginning, was not classless, because it created this class of party officials who had certain privileges, and one of those privileges was power. They had almost godlike power over the life and death of the people in their area, the area for which they were responsible. And there were people who wanted this, because as you go towards the lower levels of consciousness, people enjoy more and more to have power over other people. The people with the absolute lowest levels of consciousness were people like Hitler, Stalin, Mao, who enjoyed having that almost godlike power over hundreds of millions of people. And this is what you saw in the Soviet Union. There were people who enjoyed having that power. So that is why you see from the very beginning it was guaranteed that communism would fail. The economy could not be self-sustained. It could not grow because people were only concerned about themselves. What do I get out of this? It was not a matter of what does the state get out of it? What does it take for the state to survive? It was only a matter of me, my own situation, what I get out of it, and you were willing to do whatever it took to get personal advantages at the expense of other people. So right there you see a system that cannot work. This is also why capitalism in its pure form cannot work, because again, who are the people who will gain the economic power in a capitalist system? The most ruthless, those who are willing to do whatever it takes to get an advantage for themselves at the cost of other people. And so you see here, the system could not work, but on top of that, you also see that the promise of a classless society could not work because classless society requires that all members of that society have a certain level of what we have called the basic humanity, where you see a connection between yourselves and other people, and you actually realize what we have called enlightened self-interest, that because you are part of the whole, what is good for the whole is also good for you. This is something you cannot see. You may be able to see it intellectually below the 48th level, but you cannot really feel it. You cannot accept it. You cannot live it. You have to be some ways above the 48th level before you can truly see that the reason you need to do unto others as you want them to do unto you is because it's best for yourself. What is best for the whole is best for you as well. And so you see right there that when people are below the 48th level of consciousness, they cannot manifest a classless society, because the lower you go towards the lowest level, the more people want to be in a special class that has special powers, special privileges that are so different from other people. This is also why you saw that the Soviet Union had to give its citizens this sense of superiority. This essentially is one of the reasons why they had to shut off information coming into the Soviet Union from the West. Because if the common worker in the Soviet Union had known that the common worker in the West has a much, much higher lifestyle than they had, then the Soviet system could not have controlled them. And so you see how there were so many things that were, so to speak, built into the entire Soviet adventure, that when they set out to create the Soviet Union, there were, as the saying goes, so many camels they had to swallow, that the system couldn't work. It was doomed from the beginning. Soviet communism was doomed from the beginning. It took some decades for it to fall apart, but it was doomed from the beginning. It could never, ever possibly have worked. And this is something that there is a tension in the collective consciousness. We have talked at the previous conferences we have given this year about the fact that we are not telling you things just out of the blue. We are telling you things because we see that there has been a certain tension building in the collective consciousness, which means that when you make the calls, there can be a switch. There can be a shift where people are ready to see this. And it is actually very important for the process that Archangel Michael talked about, where you have a public debate or public awareness about communism. It is very important for that debate that people come to this realization that Soviet communism simply could not have worked. Now, I know that some will still believe that But the Soviets never had the pure form of communism, and maybe China didn't even have it. Maybe it's not been created, but maybe it could be created in the future. And as I said, there is even some reality to this. You could create a society with a more communal form of ownership, but it would not really be the communism envisioned by Marx. You understand that the fallen beings have this way of twisting everything, as we talked about in America with how they create these labels. And so you could say, for example, that if you look back at human history, you know, even in known history, there have been certain societies in the past where they had more of a communal form of ownership. There wasn't really individual ownership of land. They farmed the land in common, and they had a system for dividing what was produced so that everybody had enough to eat. And they had maybe private property in the sense that they had individual houses, but they were all working in some community service, such as building important big buildings, whether it was the Mayan pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids, the Aztec pyramids, the temples in the east, or whatever. You saw these great building projects being accomplished by a civilization. So you could say that there is a concept that has been there for a long time of communal ownership. Now, what the fallen beings did was they took that concept, projected it into the four lower bodies of Karl Marx, and then they labeled it with the communist label. They made it seem as if this form of society can only be communist. This is communism, communal ownership. So now a concept that has been around for thousands of years in different contexts that had nothing to do with the ideology of communism suddenly becomes hijacked. But as I said, there is some reality there that a society with communal ownership can work, and there has been examples of it even in known history. So this concept has nothing to do with communism. And that's why you will see people who are in the West, who are idealistic people, who have a higher level of consciousness than the 48th, but have really not risen to the 96th level and attained Christ's discernment. So they have a certain inner intuitive sense that it should be possible to create a society where you don't have these extreme inequalities created by a strict capitalist system where some people are extremely poor and a few people are extremely rich, like you see today in the United States, for example, more clearly than in most other nations. You have the elite that is getting richer and richer, which is approaching a system like you had during medieval times in the feudal societies, where the landlords owned the land and the peasants owned nothing. And so this was not communal ownership, you realize. But nevertheless, there are people who look at these extreme outcomes of the capitalist system, and they know intuitively that it's possible to create a better society. But because they have grown up in this no man's land between materialism and Christianity, they don't know, they don't see clearly how such a society could be created. So you have many people who are open to this, new ideas, who have rejected Christianity. You have many of them who have somewhat rejected materialism but have not fully understood the limitations of materialism. So in their idealism, they are thinking it must be possible to create a better society. And of course it is. What do you think my golden age is all about? It is certainly not about creating a more extreme form of capitalism where 1% of the population owns all the means of production and the others are working as slaves to sustain the privileges of the elite. Naturally, I envision, and there can be many different versions of it, but a much more compassionate humanitarian system with much greater equality and equal opportunity. So these people have an intuitive sense there is something, But because these ideas were hijacked by communism, Marxism, socialism, they think it has to be created with the overlay of this ideology. And it's very important that these creative people, intuitive people, are freed from these illusions so they can say, let's acknowledge that communism failed because Marxist ideology is flawed. Let us rethink the entire issue. Let us dare to reach for new ideas instead of dragging this ideological baggage with us as we are climbing the mountain towards a better future. Let's cut the ties and dare to look at communal ownership in a different way and see how we could create a different society. And of course, all of the work you are doing by raising your consciousness, by making the calls, raises the collective consciousness to the point where people can begin to see that their dreams can be fulfilled, but only if consciousness is raised. Only if people's individual consciousness is raised above a certain level can they create such a society. And only if the collective consciousness is raised above a certain level can such a society be sustained, can it function. Because it requires a certain level of consciousness, it requires a certain level of humanity and the awareness that what is good for the whole is good for me as an individual before you can create a society that has a more equal ownership of the means of production. It cannot be created until the collective consciousness is raised beyond a certain threshold, which it is not yet, and that collective consciousness can be raised only by the creative people, the intuitive people, dedicating themselves to walking the spiritual path. Now again, there are many versions of the spiritual path, many ways to follow the spiritual path. The Ascended Master teachings is not the only one, but people need to be aware that there is a systematic path for raising their consciousness, and they need to be working towards that goal. Otherwise, you cannot create a society that has that higher form of ownership. And it doesn't mean that there can't be individual ownership. It doesn't mean that you have to abandon individual ownership, but it needs to be at a different level, and that will become obvious to people as they raise their consciousness. You understand what I have been saying about the Golden Age, that it is a gradual process, and it is not my goal, and it never has been my goal, despite what some Ascended Master students believe, to create an ideology or a system that at this particular point in time sets the matrix for how the Golden Age is going to unfold. My plan is to have a gradual release as the collective consciousness is raised. Because, as I have said before, throughout the next 2,000 years, progress will continue. And that means that in 2,000 years, society will be so far beyond where it is today that most people couldn't even deal with it, couldn't even deal with the vision. So when you realize that, you see that how could I possibly bring out an ideology or a system at the current level of consciousness that is based on how society will be at the end of the Aquarian Age? It couldn't be done. People wouldn't be able to grasp it. So my plan is a gradual release. We release teachings that will help raise the collective consciousness. As the collective consciousness is raised in a matter of a decade or several decades, new ideas, new teachings will be released that can then take society to the next level. That is, my beloved, the only way it could possibly be done. And my vision is clear that this will happen in the Aquarian Age. Now, if you look at the Piscean Age, you will see that Jesus, of course, and the masters working with Jesus before he ascended, had a similar plan for the Piscean Age. It was not the plan that Jesus would appear on earth, walk around for 3 years, uttering various teachings, some of which would be written down, some of which would never be written down, and that was the final release for the Piscean Age. That was never the plan, that was never the vision. The vision that Jesus had was to create a movement that where there was a flow of the Holy Spirit, so there could be progressive revelation of gradually higher teachings through the Piscean Age. As you know, and as we have said before, that didn't come to pass, partly because too few people grasped it, partly because of the creation of the Catholic Church, which effectively made progressive revelation within the context of Christianity impossible for over 1,000 years, and in all practicality more than 1,000 years, until it finally came to a point where we could at least step forward publicly and announce our existence as ascended masters, although of course we didn't do that when in the context of Christianity, far from it. So we could say that still to this day there is no possibility of progressive revelation within the context of Christianity. It just isn't there. But it could have been there, and that was the original vision of Jesus. And so my vision is, of course, is to learn from this, build on this, and create a different movement, a different teaching that can not set the stage for the Aquarian Age, but set the stage for the process of bringing forth progressive revelation throughout the Aquarian Age. And that is, of course, what you see. We have started through this messenger. We will carry forward through this messenger. But, of course, we will not complete it through this messenger, as progressive revelation, by its very nature, can never be completed. How could it be? And therefore, how comical, I can really only use that word, my beloved, that some Ascended Master students think that we had a messenger who was bringing forth progressive revelation, but now that that messenger is no longer there, progressive revelation has stopped. It is really comical that anyone can believe this, but then again, it is comical that anyone could believe in the communist promise that there could be a new unselfish man created through force that can only force people to become more and more selfish. And so, my beloved, I know that communism is not a laughing matter, and therefore I shall refrain from cracking jokes about communism, which I am tempted to do. But nevertheless, it really is hard not to use the word ridiculous when you see how the people that were, so to speak, the architects of the Soviet Union, Lenin, Trotsky, and others, actually thought that they could create a new type of human being. And when they had that new type of human being, then Soviet communism would work. They actually thought, if we can only change human nature, then communism will work. And that, my beloved, is quite frankly one of the most ridiculous ideas or beliefs ever presented by the fallen beings on this planet. I will give you that on certain other planets it has been even worse, but let's not even go there for this release. I am happy that you have come together. I am happy that you have given me this opportunity to speak this into the collective consciousness. You recognize that the messenger is facing east, facing Russia, and this is projected into the heart of Russia, St. Petersburg, Moscow, and therefore can have the maximum effect of shifting the collective consciousness so that even the Russian people will begin to take a look at communism. But of course, we envision that this clearly will happen first in Eastern Europe, the Baltics, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, all of these nations that were under the communist yoke and therefore can speak from experience but have today moved beyond it. But as Archangel Michael said, you are still dragging that cloud of fear-based energy with you, and you are still dragging that ideological baggage. And when you look at it, my beloved, you will feel a new sense of freedom, and suddenly you will see that many of the things that haven't been working so far in your societies will start working, and you will make much faster progress towards prosperity, which is, of course, only one step towards the greater goal that I see for your societies as we move into the Golden Age. But certainly it is necessary to create material prosperity for the greatest number of people, because it is what you were missing during communist times. That material affluence that people had in the West, which now means many people in the West have moved beyond the need for material affluence, but you still have it in Eastern Europe, and you deserve to have it so that you can move beyond it and see that there are also other goals in life. So with this, my gratitude for you who are here, who are on the broadcast, for allowing me to use your chakras as broadcasting stations to send this powerful impetus into the collective consciousness that says, look at communism, realize why it couldn't work, and then be free from that heavy yoke of the communist ideological baggage. Saint Germain, I am, and I am freedom.